We're going to turn to Scripture. We're going to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And after this, then the folks are going to be leaving for their the children are going to leave for their program. So let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to read from verse 4 down to verse 11, and then we're going to read from verse 32. So let's listen to the Word of God. 1 Samuel chapter 17. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span, and he had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armour of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. And his spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its rod point weighed 600 shekels. And his shield bearer went ahead of him. And Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? Are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and come down to me. If he's able to fight and kill me, we will be your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give a man and let us fight each other." And on hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Let's jump down just to verse 32. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." And Saul replied, "You're not able to go out and fight this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned to me, I seized it by its hair and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistines." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armour on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and walked around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go out in these," he said to Saul, "because I'm not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in a pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. And he said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." Amen. We're going to end our reading there. If the girls and boys want to leave for their program, that would be great. Let's pray together. Father, you know my heart today. Father, I know the things you've been learning this past week, and I pray, Lord, that you'll just bring those things to mind. I pray for each one here this morning, Lord, that they will hear you speak to them, that they will know you as the living God. And those that don't know you, Lord, I pray, Father, this morning that by the power of your Spirit, you'll speak into their lives and change their heart this day. Take the words of your servant, Lord, and use them, Father, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We all know the story of David and Goliath. I know we've just read through it, but I'm sure if I asked you beforehand, you'd have all said, yes, I know the story of David and Goliath. It's about the wee boy that fights the big guy, hits him with a stone, knocks him down and kills him. Or you would say it's the individual who goes up against the big business and wins the court case. Or you'd say it's the wee team like Liverpool coming up against the great team like Manchester United, and once in every 10 years maybe winning. It's about the wee team, unprofessional, coming up against the professional team. We use those terms all the time. I was listening to some sport yesterday, the hockey, the Women's European Championship was on, and they were using it about Ireland playing England, about this smaller team coming up against this mighty team, England. We use it all the time. But if you and I, the only thing that we take out of the story of David and Goliath is what the world throws at us, then that's not what the story of David and Goliath is about. We have missed what God has been saying to us. I've been reading this book over the summer, sort of dipping in and out of it. It's by a guy called Louis Giglio. Hope that's right. It's close enough. It's called Goliath Must Fall. And it's been a real challenge to me. I've been doing it along with a study on the armour of God. And I've watched how God has brought both of these studies together in this challenge about, in my own personal walk with God, about really who's in control, who's in charge, how am I facing situations, and who am I facing situations with. So as Peter said last Sunday night, his sermon on Sunday night wasn't really a prayer as such, but was looking at how we pray. And in some ways, we're doing the same this morning. We're looking at how we pray and why we pray in certain situations. So I want to invite you to turn with me to this passage again in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And if I was going to say that there's a verse to introduce this passage, then it would be back in 1 Samuel 14 and 52. You don't need to look it up. I'm going to read it to you. All the days of Saul, there was a bitter war with the Philistines. And whenever Saul saw a mighty man or a brave man, he took him into his service. In other words, Saul had been building up this army around him of what he thought were the mighty and the brave men, that he would have protection around him so that no matter what he faced, he would have these military men who could be there for him. But it seems as we step into this part of the story that their bravery and their courage has in some ways gone. And we're introduced to this man, Goliath. And we're told from verse 11 that he's a champion. In other words, he has a reputation as a fighter, as a winner. His height was 6 cubits and a span, so he's a really imposing figure. He's dressed with a bronze helmet on his head, and he wears a coat of scale armour of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels on his legs. He has these bronze things on his legs, and he's carrying this massive javelin on his back, and he's got a spear shaft, and he's everything about him is big, scary, horrible to look at. Just the sheer look of him would have made you feel that you couldn't win the battle against him. And for 40 days he comes out and he taunts Saul and he taunts Saul's army. Day after day coming out, challenging them to come and to fight, defying them, defying their God. And as a result of that, we're told that the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. In verse 24, it tells us that when the Israelites saw him coming out, they ran in fear. This was a scary guy. Day after day, there he was. And yet, in the midst of this story, in the midst of everything that's going on, we have David's arrival, a fearless young man. In an earlier part of chapter 16, David's described by one of Saul's attendants like this: he is a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well. He's a fine-looking man. And the Lord is with him. In other words, just as Goliath had a reputation, so did David. A reputation as a brave man and a warrior, although that wasn't known by his elder brother or apparently by Saul. But God has been preparing David for what lay ahead. In verse 32, it's David who says to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." And Saul immediately takes up the offer. He thinks, this is a great idea. At last, somebody wants to fight him. But then he looks at him and he says, you know, you can't go up against this man. You can't go up against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man. And he's a warrior from his youth. But then Scripture reminds us that God doesn't look at the outward appearance. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Saul saw just a young man going up against a warrior. God saw a warrior going up against a man, and that was the difference. David's confidence was in the Lord who was with him. And this is what he said, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued it from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair. I struck it, I killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistines." David knew what it was like to fight. He knew what it was like to go up against incredible odds. He knew what it was like to have victory in the battle. And every time he had fought something, he had stored up in his heart the victory that he had won. Not only had he stored up who the victory had won, but also who had fought for him. That the Lord had fought for him every single time. Psalm 16:8 says, "I have set the Lord before me always. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be shaken." David knew that any battle that he fought, he didn't fight on his own. In fact, he knew that it was only God with him, and God fighting for him was why he could have the victory each time. But even though David tells this to Saul, Saul straight away wants David to fight the war on his terms. And so he gives David his equipment to wear. He dresses him in his own tunic. He puts his coat of armor on David. He gives David his helmet. And he gives David his sword to fight with. And David puts this on and he only walks a few steps and he goes, "I can't fight in this. This is no good to me. I've never used this. I can't fight in this." And I wonder how often you and I fight things with the wrong armor and the wrong equipment. We go into battle things and we take in the things that we think will help us win the war. We maybe throw money at something. We'll buy our way out of this problem. We maybe think education will get us out of the problem. We maybe think that if we use strong words and physical action, it'll give us the victory. When all along, God was asking David to come to him, and he asked us to come to him and to surrender ourselves and to surrender the situation to him. Because the whole story is that we fight the battle on our knees. That's why we pray. Every situation that you are in or going into, you begin from a position on your knees, a position of surrender to God. And David takes off Saul's armor and equipment, and he gets himself right for the battle with the things that God wants him to take into the battle. And from verse 45, he tells us what the right equipment was for the battle. You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the mighty name of the Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. This very day I'll give the carcasses of the Philistine armies to the birds and the wild animals. The whole world will know there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. What have you been fighting with? What have you been trying to use in the battles that you're facing? I know I'm as guilty as anybody that there are times when I think, well, I don't really need to tell God about this because I can deal with it. I'm more than capable of dealing with this. I can either talk my way out of it or do something to get out of it. And yet God must break his heart at times when he just longs for us to come to him and to talk to him. And in this we see that David's not only confident in defeating Goliath, but he's also confident in defeating the Philistine army. And in seconds, the battle is over. I've shared before that I get Christine Cain's blogs, and one came through this week, and it said this: God can do in a second what you have been unable to do alone for years. God can do in a second what you alone have been unable to do for years. For 40 days, the Israel army had faced off against Goliath. And in a few seconds, David had victory. Those elements. He went into it in the name of the Lord. He prayed that the Lord would deliver them into his hands. He wanted the Lord to be honoured in what he did, that the whole world would know that God, there is a God in Israel. And he was constantly reminded, the battle is the Lord's. I want us to look down to verse 51, because it's a part of the story that we normally don't touch, don't look at. David ran over, stood over Goliath. He took hold of the Philistine's sword, drew it from his sheath, and after he had killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. That's not the part of the story you normally tell the children. We normally take it to the stone is thrown and Goliath is fallen, and we leave it as a nice wee clean kill. You know, in TV films where sometimes for kids somebody gets killed but there's no blood, no gore, no nothing. And we stop there. Well, why does God not just stop with Goliath falling? Why does Scripture not just stop at that point and leave Goliath lying dead in the ground? I believe it was for this reason. They needed to know that Goliath was really dead. They needed to know that he wasn't just stunned. He wasn't just unconscious. He wasn't just lying there feeling very embarrassed. He was really dead. And in those seconds of cutting off his head and holding it up to the crowd, we see that the Philistines saw what had happened. They turned, they ran. And when the Israelite army saw, they gave chase. You see, if you're dealing with things, if you're dealing with whatever the Goliath is in your life, then it comes a point where if you have defeated it through God, then there has to be a total cut-off point. In other words, if your Goliath is alcohol, and God leads you through and you stop drinking, you can't go back every couple of weeks and have a wee quick glass. If it's drugs, you can't come off one lot of drugs and take these other sort of drugs because they're not as bad. There's got to be a clean point of cutting off. And you know, we all face a Goliath in our lives. And when we read this story, it tells us that they were dismayed and they were afraid. And those are probably two of the biggest areas that most of us, or many of us in this room probably, at some time have experienced for whatever's going on in your life. My own would be fear and rejection. Those are the two areas that I struggle in all of my life. If I listen to the voice of Goliath, then I become fearful. And I can go and hide from everybody and everything. But I have to learn to fight the battle on my knees. I have to learn that God will give me victory. I have to start and think about, whose voice am I listening to? Am I listening to Goliath, who will tell me lies to stop me moving forward with God? Or am I prepared to listen to God, who will always tell me the truth? Whose voice are you listening to today? Are you allowing Goliath to have his say day after day? Are you ready to come to God and to name your problem? To name what it is your Goliath? That's what we need to do. We need to come to him and we need to name what it is. And then we have to have the reassurance and the confidence that it is that God is with us there in the battle. He's there fighting for us. And he goes before us. I'm going to give you another Christine Cain quote from this week, because I believe this is for somebody in here. You can focus on the person who hurt you, or you can focus on the God who healed you. You can focus on the person who hurt you or the God who healed you. You and I, in Ephesians, have been given this armour by God to wear each and every day. And we need to put it on at the start of the day. We need to put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet fitted with the gospel, the helmet of salvation, and we need to take up our shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. And then we need to pray. Pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Some of you have been fighting the battle on your own. You're fighting it on your own because you don't know Jesus is your Lord and Savior. And you've been battling for so long. Jesus stands today before you, and he invites you to accept him as your Lord and Savior, if you would but ask him. Some of you have been fighting for so long, and you've been fighting on your own because you didn't know what else to do. And God says to you today, I'm here to fight with you. I'm here to go before you. Louis Giglio says in his book that so often we put ourselves as the David in the story, when in fact, it's God is the David in the story. The one who goes before us. The one who fights for us. The one who has the victory. The one who will never leave us nor forsake us. The one who loves us with an everlasting love. David had victory that day as he put his trust in the one who went before him and who would battle for him day in and day out. God invites you and me also to go into the battle with the one who fights for us, the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you know each one here this morning. you know the battles that they have been fighting and what area that is. You know their needs today, Lord. Pray, Lord, as Aaron leads us in this ministry song, that those words will help us, Lord, come to you and invite you into the battle with us.